This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. So today we have another wolf power play, and this one is going to be mental willpower, right?
Yeah, so it's been a while since it's just been you and I.
Yeah, so I think it would be fun to mix it up a little, right?
Yeah, we've had guests, and hope everybody's been getting a lot of value from that. We've had some awesome people, some people that are huge in the education space and real estate, some people that own multiple restaurants, and I think it's been a good variety.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I was at an event last night at Total Wealth, and I had a few people come up to me and be like, "Hey, I love your podcast and the what you're bringing and the questions that you're asking. You know, it's different from some of the other podcasts." So, I think we have been providing some pretty good value.
Yeah, so it's fun. The today I think it's going to be an awesome talking about mental willpower. So. I think we needed some today. So
we need some positivity. We need some, you know, I know everybody goes through challenging times, and when things don't go your way or the right way, and there's going to be those times. Like, how do you react to that?
Correct. So let's talk about just developing your mental strength to start, because I think you're going to need mental strength to deal with when things don't go well. So you answer this question, Joni. How do you strengthen your mental strength and your willpower?
I think that a big part of what I do is I'm always thinking positive, you know, and I feed my mind with positive, whether it's listening to a podcast or reading a book. I've always continued to try to feed my mind with positive, because I feel that if you don't, then the alternative is just thinking negative. That's how negative self-talk comes in. You know, the disbelief in yourself and low self-esteem, that kind of thing. So I think it starts with thinking positive.
Yeah, I also feel that it also, you got to challenge yourself and put yourself in uncomfortable situations to develop your mental strength. So I think, you know, you got to really challenge yourself at times. And I think that's hard for people, and uncomfortable is probably the best way to describe it. And so,
yeah, it really is.
I think, you know, us over the last, you know, several years, and even as a child, I think I put myself in uncomfortable situations. Where it'd have been a lot easier if I just didn't do it or didn't sign up for this or didn't, you know, but I put myself in these uncomfortable situations so I could grow, and I could grow mentally, and I could grow my strength, because I had to deal with challenge. I had to deal with rejection. I had to deal with how people perceive me and all that stuff. But, and then just the fortitude to get through and make it and complete it, you know, takes a lot of, mental strength.
Right. Sure. And so what makes you want to do that, though? Because there's some people out there that, you know, just don't want it and just want to just go through life. Right. And like, is it the drive, the pursuit of wanting to be better and wanting to do better, the goals that you set for yourself? Like, what makes you?
I think, yeah, all of that. But also, I feel like it's, it doesn't matter, you know, all of us are going to face challenges, and all of us are going to face points in our lives when things don't go as planned, and regardless, so yeah. Whether you know, if you sit home all day and all that, you're probably going to end up, you know, not exercising and all that, probably going to be an unhealthy person. At some point you're going to have mental challenges and things that you didn't plan for. Like illnesses or health issues, you know, that you, if you just stayed at home all day. So no matter what, even if you're very conservative in how you approach life, I think you're still going to face mental and challenges down the road. So I think to say that, I don't, you know, I think you need to plan and prepare in advance for when those do come, that you have the strength to get through them and you have the willpower to overcome them. So I think it starts with just starting with small incremental steps. So, you know, we, you know, I've talked about this on our daily huddles and stuff with our group, and Brett's done it in the customer service workshops. We talk about just taking these small incremental wins. And so it doesn't have to be like you have to go and sign up for a marathon and, you know, complete that and to strengthen yourself. It could be just small little wins. So I know like a big one that most people are scared of or most people want to accomplish or grow is being able to public speak, mm-hmm. right? And that's a common, you know, fear and
right.
a common where people will usually, not give in and not, if they don't have the opportunity to not public speak or answer something publicly,
they will choose to,
yeah. But so start small. So it might be just something as small as like going to a networking event and just introducing mm-hmm. yourself to one person. And if all you did that network is you introduced yourself, you went up to somebody, introduced yourself, talked to them a little bit, that's a win, right? That's right. A start. And then you build on that. So then it might be answering a question in a group setting, you know, and putting yourself out there that way. And then you take these baby steps to maybe volunteering to present in an organization or in your company. Mm-hmm. And then you might be graduated to putting on stage like you've done and stuff like that. So I think it just takes small incremental wins, but you build upon that and you just keep building.
The more that you do it too, the better that you get at it. And yeah. I remember like, public speaking, I couldn't, there's sometimes where I would go up there and I would be shaking, but every time I went up there and I was like, I can't do this again. But then I kept putting myself in those uncomfortable situations. And I still mess up.
Yeah.
Right. But the point is getting back out there and continuing the fight regardless. Right. Yeah. And you have to have that belief in yourself and that self-confidence in yourself to say, I can do this, right?
So, to talk about what would have happened if you would have quit. Remember what happened at, you got put on stage at one of the RPM events, yeah. right? Tell us what happened.
And I just like lost it. I went up there and I totally didn't know what I was talking about.
It was a panic attack.
It was,
you couldn't breathe almost.
Yeah, he was gasping for air and I needed water. I'm like, what is going on here? But I still, thought about it. I'm like, hey, if I don't go back up there, then I probably will never go back up there, right? Right.
Yeah. And then today you don't have those breathing problems and hyperventilating, right? I mean, you learn
from everyone. Yeah, you learn from your mistakes and you get better each time. And that's the whole point of it, is getting better each time.
What helped me?
Learning from your failures.
Yeah, what helped me myself is I used to have to go to California and speak a lot for the turnkey model. And we would sell properties and market ourselves. And so it was always in a hotel conference ballroom and... whatever reason, they would always sometimes put them at the airports. And so like, sometimes they put us in these all glass rooms mm-hmm. with airplanes flying right by. So like every time the airplane, like you couldn't hear me. And if you guys haven't noticed already, I'm already monotone. So like you're over an airplane engine, you can't hear me at all. So that was always an issue. And then one time I showed up and I'm not loud. And so I really depend on a microphone to carry my voice. And so, and it's just not my nature to like yell, and it just doesn't come natural. So especially when I'm thinking and trying to talk, and so the microphone broke, right? And so, and it happens to be the longest room I've ever been in, narrow, but then long. And so like, they're like, okay, we're going to be in the back of the room telling you to, if we can't hear you, we're mm-hmm. going to just keep doing this with our thumb. We're going to keep telling you to raise your voice. Oh, great. Okay, cool. So we started off right away. The thumb's going up. And I'm like trying to talk loud. The whole entire hour, they're sitting there with their thumb up. And obviously, the people who, I feel bad for whoever had to sit in the back of the room, because they definitely didn't hear me. But I mean, that stuff like that happens. And yeah. that's something that didn't go as planned. But that's also, I would just put myself out there. What I was starting with all this was I would just put myself out there constantly, and I would improve every mm-hmm. time I presented. Mm-hmm. And even when things didn't go well, I still could get through the presentation. I could still, because I'd done it so many times and I'd gotten real comfortable.
Yeah. You know what's important with this conversation right now is like learning these skill sets could really help develop your children too.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that all of us want our children to have that mental toughness and, be able to handle uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. And how do you teach your children this is leading by example.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
And I remember telling when things like this would happen, and I would tell Lucas and Mila like, hey, like I looked like a fool up there, but I still went up there and did it. Right. Yeah. And so they see those things and you push them. We push them every day in sports.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we push them to go out and order their own meals at restaurants, to going and introducing themselves. And they're not perfect at it, you know, they're still kids, but we also share our failures and we go and we'll bring them to certain events so they can see us, mm-hmm. you know, putting ourselves out there.
Because that's a goal with them. I can't believe that you're up there on stage speaking, because you want them to see that, because you know that they can do that as well.
Correct. Because I think that it challenges them and gives them the confidence to put themselves mm-hmm. out there. And I think, you know, our kids have been great examples of that. They're shy by nature, which comes probably more from me, but they've done really well about putting themselves out mm-hmm. there when they needed to. And,
right.
And they've come through, like even in sports. I think Lucas, you know, on like one of the major games that they play basketball, he got fouled twice. This happened twice where he's fouled right at the end of the game and it's tied game and he has to make one or two free throws to win the game. And he's come through in clutch. And that's not easy for a lot of kids to under that pressure,
yeah.
you know? And so we've definitely,
and that's a good point right there. Like pressure, how well do you handle pressure, right? When things do get tough.
Mm-hmm. Or just, yeah, like to win a ball game or something like that. I mean, it's pressure. And mm-hmm. so how do you maintain yourself? And I think this is where putting yourself in those challenging, uncomfortable situations, I've always used to give a demonstration of like a rubber band, you know, and you just constantly stretch mm-hmm. and you stretch. And
absolutely.
And then you get comfortable there and then you stretch a little bit more and then you get comfortable there and you stretch a little bit more. Before you know it, you've stretched yourself pretty wide where you can handle quite a bit of stress or pressure and you can still perform at a very high level.
Yeah.
And sometimes that takes a toll on people. I know that. I know there's another side of that you put yourself under too much pressure.
You have to learn how to control your emotions as well as a big one, because I think that, you know, in any situation, you know, you might not like how it's going or not. You might not like how somebody talked to you or how, you know, somebody approached you, but it's the way you react to things. You know, are you going to yell back and kick and scream and call them names, or are you going to take a step back and say, let me assess the situation first, you know, and then come back.
Yeah.
And a little more positiveness.
And I don't know what everybody's spiritual beliefs are, but like something that I believe in is and it's hard. I get challenged by this every morning, is being thankful in those challenging mm-hmm. moments and
seeing them as opportunities rather than, you know,
challenges
or negative, right? Negative,
yeah. And it just puts a positive perspective on it, even though, and I understand people are going through we're talking about light things. There's probably some very serious challenges in mm-hmm. certain people's lives. I get that. But it's still looking at it as an opportunity to learn or grow mentally. But it's not easy. And being grateful under those circumstances mm-hmm. and thanking for having to go through that puts your mind in a different perspective of like looking at, okay, I'm going through this for a reason. How can I learn from it? How can I grow from it? How can I take something positive away from it
mm-hmm.
rather than just focus on the negative?
I think that's a good point. I mean, regardless of, there's some situations that people have gone through, some really bad stuff, right? Yeah. But even at that, even myself growing up with the addiction in my household, like, at one point, I'm like, why am I going through this, right? Mm-hmm. But now I can say, like, I'm stronger as a person today because I went through those things and I could help others be able to get through those as well.
You relate to more people mm-hmm. When you've gone through that. And that's a lot of times that's where the positive outlook comes out of, is like, it, once you overcame it and once you survived and gone through it, is you can usually help out a lot of people because you've now
gone
through
that.
Yeah, and you can relate to them and you've gone through it and now you've seen the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you can help walk people through that other. So you can be
agreed. Yeah.
So when things don't go as planned, and we have some great examples for this, Joni, tell us some of the things you do. Do you fold and give in, or do you step up and persevere?
My nature is to step up and persevere. I'm always like, and I think this is a perfect example of during COVID, right? When we didn't know what was going to happen, we didn't know if our tenants were going to pay rent, right? And everybody's freaking out. What do we do about it? Well, all we can do is we can get better, make sure that we have our processes and procedures in place and a plan in place to attack.
Yeah.
And that's how I go through. Like if something happens, okay, I'm getting up and I'm going to attack it. Right. Yeah. And let's resolve the issues.
Yeah. Focus on the solutions.
Right.
And not the problem itself. I think too often we start just focusing on the problem and why and all this, instead of just looking at what's the solutions
yeah.
to fix it. And let's focus on those solutions and how can control what you can control.
Right. Absolutely.
And not focus on what you
can. And I tell that to my staff all the time is like when they come with the problem, you know, it's like sometimes they want to complain about it. And, you know, I'm like, well, okay, we're here now. What can we do about it?
Yeah.
Right. Let's fix it and move on.
And part of it's just powering through it. And I know that's probably not the answer a lot of people want. Like always people are looking for like an easy solution, the easy button, you know, I think Staples.
There is no easy button.
They've just nailed that with the easy button. And I think we live in a society today that they're just constantly looking for an easy mm-hmm. button. And the hard truth to the matter is there is nope. never no easy mm-mm. button. You might get lucky and win the lottery and all power to you. And that's awesome. But for almost 99% of us, it's going to be, there's no easy button.
Nope.
And it's going to take just powering through it. And Joni and I are a testament to that because nothing has come easy to us and we've failed more than most. And we just keep getting up.
And sometimes it's like multiple things. Like one thing happens, you're like, man, this just happened. And then tomorrow something else happens. The next day something else happens. And then you have like four turnovers in your office. You're like, okay, like something's got to give, right? Yeah. But we just keep powering through.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. We go home and we're like, what are we doing? Like, why us? Like, what am I doing wrong? Like, and you question stuff, and I think it's human nature. But we get up the next morning and mm-hmm. ready to tack it again.
But one thing I've noticed, because like you mentioned, you know, like a rubber band, you keep mm-hmm. strengthening yourself. And you know, I remember when we first started off our business, you know, doing 1 to 2 flips, mm-hmm. and that seemed extremely stressful, mm-hmm. right? To this point where we're doing. You're building 30 houses at a time, yeah. and that doesn't even faze us. And I couldn't even comprehend, like, I'm like, how do we get here?
Yeah.
Right?
And it started with one, and one at a time. And yeah. we had to rehab that one and wait till it sells and then reinvest in. I remember that roller coaster because we would, you know, we'd have a sale and like, man, you think you got 20 grand in the bank account and you're like thinking you're rich mm-hmm. and then that doesn't last very long and you got to wait for your next deal. It goes 3 or 4 months and then it started with 2 mm-hmm. and then it was 3 and then 4 and then we built from there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it starts small. And it took a lot longer to get to where we are today than I ever imagined. So it never happens overnight. And that's the other thing is it takes a lot longer than you ever anticipated. But, and there's some times too that we had to pivot and reevaluate. So mm-hmm. when things don't go as planned,
Adapting.
Mm-hmm. So like in a good example for us was in 2010.
Yeah.
all of us had just survived the recession and, you know, real estate took a major hit. And, you know, we had been for the last or 10 years prior to that or 11 years prior to that, we had been flipping houses, mm-hmm. Selling them retail. And the market totally changed and things weren't selling and things were taking 3 to 4 months to...
And I remember having this conversation with you, like I was, at that time, like I was not mentally tough. Like I was scared.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I didn't know what our future held and, you know, making this big change could be ultimately make or break your business.
We could totally,
you know what I mean? Yeah. And so, and that was our livelihood.
Yeah.
I mean, we had nothing else, but you and I here in Texas,
yeah.
you know, so I remember it was
stressful. So 2010, we had, at that time we were doing about 5 to 6 mm-hmm. properties, flips a month, just to put it in perspective. Joni was pregnant mm-hmm. at the time. So we had a baby coming, so we had responsibilities.
Add more stress to that.
and then, you know, the market had definitely changed and things weren't selling. And, you know, some of the homes we were over, like we spent more on the homes fixing them up than what they were worth mm-hmm. and what we paid for them. And so, like, we had to make a decision. So then it was like, well, what about this turnkey model and putting tenants in place? And at that time, we were so scared because, like, okay, what if we put all these tenants in these homes and then they don't sell? And then I'm stuck with a bunch of homes with tenants.
And so that was the, okay, well, what the worst case scenario that could happen is that we would have to hold these as rental properties, right? Correct. And so, and weather through the storm. So we knew that that could be the case.
But we pivoted, and this was a time when things didn't go as planned. Nobody planned for the recession. Everybody thought it was, everything was going to keep going like it was. And so we pivoted, mm-hmm. and it was the best decision we've ever made. And looking back, it's like, wow, that was a major inflection point mm-hmm. in our lives, was going into that. Cause that started the management companies, which everybody knows where they are today. And it started all these other companies that we own today.
And we never thought we'd be in property management. That was the last thing that we thought we'd be in.
So, and when things don't go as planned, you learn from them mm-hmm. as well. We've learned from lawsuits. I think at that same time in 2010, we had a major lawsuit. Joni was 7 months pregnant. We just moved into a new home and we got stuck with a major lawsuit from a plumber didn't do something they were supposed to on the house. And anyways, that was one of those times where we had to have major mental willpower. It was mm-hmm. like it kicked us when we were already, at a low point.
Right.
And so like it was tough.
And I think what made it not that it was easy for us, but it helped in our situation. Like we were very supportive of each other. Right. And so I think, having that support system, whoever your support system is, it's important because I don't think we would have been able to get through that without each other to lean on.
Yeah. Whether it's a mentor Absolutely. Or a spouse or a parent.
Yeah.
But
our mentors, like even we still had mentors at that time, and we leaned a lot on them.
Yeah, but and I'm very thankful for you because
even though we gripe at each other sometimes.
You've really been my support system, and carried. When I was low, you've helped me. When you're low, I've helped you. But we've also through those difficult times, we knew we had each other, mm-hmm. and we knew, no matter what the outcome would be, that we would still, we're going to still stay together. We're going to still mm-hmm. survive this. And whatever the outcome is, we'll get through it.
Yeah.
And on that note, when things don't go as planned, I say slow down and really assess it. Because 9 times out of 10, it's never as bad as it looks the first, as when it first hits. When it first hits, everybody's in shock. Everybody is, you're like, what's going wrong? But then, after you start getting through it, you start pulling back the layers, mm-hmm. you start reassessing, you start focusing on solutions. All of a sudden you're like, this isn't that bad.
I love that point. Like slow down and assess it, because oftentimes I think it's just natural to overreact and make irrational decisions, and then you're like, crap, I already just made that decision. Yeah. Now I can't go back.
Correct.
Right. So I think that's an important part that you just mentioned right there. Slow down and assess the situation.
So a good one for us was the recently we had some major turnover in our organization all like within a month period. It was mm-hmm. like at first you're like it was like back to back. And then you're like and these are key positions and stuff. And it's like, why? Like, what are we, not paying enough? You start questioning mm-hmm. everything that you're doing. Culture, or like, is there a culture issue? Is there this? Is it too stressful? Are we putting too much work on? You start analyzing. Mm-hmm. And then once the shock and awe is kind of dissipated, then you're like, okay, let's focus on this. Mm-hmm. And let's get the ads going. Let's start placing this. Let's start who can do what to help in the meantime, how are we going to survive this in the short period? But then when you start really looking down line and down the road, you're like, you know what? I think maybe we can do an upgrade here. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get, a stronger person. Maybe we didn't need that position anymore. And all of a sudden you start analyzing and you're like, you know what? Like actually positive, probably a lot of positive things are probably going to come out of this. And so I think if you, once the initial shock's gone, I think, and you start really focusing, you can
I think there's a lot of positive. Like, a lot of that you just said here, because I think it goes along with the leadership, right? Because had we have went the opposite way, then freaked out our leadership team and everybody else, but we were pretty calm about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, 5 years ago, if this would have happened, we probably would have
panicked.
Yeah, right. And so it says a lot to your leadership.
Yeah, and just and it hasn't been the first time. So, but I mean, you learn from it every time, and we've reassessed. So like we talked about just a minute ago, we reassessed and really looked at, okay, where do we maybe make the wrong choice in this hire? Mm-hmm. Or where do we fail them? You know, and right. You also look at yourself in this, because you probably made a mistake, but also how did you fail them as a company and as a leadership?
How can we be better, right? And we do exit interviews almost with all of our employees. And sometimes, as hard as it is to hear what they put on there, maybe they didn't like a certain person, you know, it's our job to be open-minded and say, you know what, like, okay, this happened, but what can I do about it? How can I do better in this situation?
How can I
improve so it doesn't happen
How again? Can I coach? Yeah. How can I provide that better leadership?
Right.
How can I have put them up to, how could I have helped them win, you know, and succeed at their role?
It comes down to taking ownership and being self-aware,
correct, and owning it, owning your mistakes, yeah, because there's always in every case it's usually both sides could improve on it. So I think that's it. I think anything else you want to add? Last minute words as things don't go wrong. I know you mentioned you love to fill your mind with positive thoughts.
Yeah,
words of affirmation.
You know, I think there's so much free information out there, so many podcasts out there. And I know when I'm feeling down, I usually listen to either an Ed Milet show or a Tony Robbins show, like something to feed my mind with, Joni, like, it's going to be okay, right? And then I also like to journal. There's something about getting your thoughts out on paper, right? And really kind of seeing it just flow out. And that's how a lot of times I answer my own questions, just by writing it down.
Yeah, it's a way to like almost just spit it out. Like, it's almost your way to yell it out, you know, and get it off your chest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, awesome. So that was our mental willpower power play. So hopefully you guys got something out of that.
And hope you're liking this back with the wolf power play.
If not, we'll bring back guests here as well. But I think you got one more next week of us. So be prepared for that. We're going to be talking about how to hire a rock star, a talent. So
how you can continue to create your amazing culture as well. So
yeah, so stay tuned for that. We're looking forward to it. We appreciate everybody that listens to the show. You know, we only ask if you can just share it and reach more people. The more people we can reach, the more people we can help and support, and hopefully just share like our amazing guests with some of these people. They have awesome organizations and real estate education and all sorts of events and stuff that they offer. And so the more we share this, the more the word gets around and we help out everybody. So
yes,
thank you. And we'll see you all next week.
See ya.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolfsDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.